Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So, in the words of wonderful William Kittredge, his poem about the raven rattle, here we are, inextricably one with everything, however tricked, riding, in fact, on the back of trickiness itself. Whoa, there we go. The energy is so that to step off it is to run into it, so let's align. Let's take the cult out of culture by aligning with the occult and esoteric DC. We're going to do that, but we need all of our magic mojo now. So I have Coyote Fuhrer here from Stella Coyote, an ancestress ally, you know, and just by the miracle of telepathic radio, I have the coyote hair here, and I go, outsider, trickster, resilient part of all of us, rise up to the occasion that we may be unexpected, ingenious, assume cultural narrative lead, dance us into place where we can do the most good, have the most fun, cultivate and contribute our considerable gifts to the community in a manner of reciprocal blessing. There goes the coyote fur. You can feel it quickening in you. Right, so, esoteric DC mojo. Honoring James Hampton's mysterious, redemptive, visionary life work, which is now humming at a time of Washington, D.C.'s grotesque occupation by a regime of thuggish morons. And we can use the word moron because it means foolish, dull, sluggish, and stupid. And also with a reference into a book I'll be referencing more in the coming weeks, David Ovison's fantastic book, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital, that we draw on the occult power of the city to save and increase the spirit of democracy across the land, on into the world. There we go. So Trey Crowder, a wonderful reporter, comedian, says, you know, all this is a distraction from Epstein. And he goes, yes and no. Someone sets fire to your house to distract you from the fact that they kidnapped your Mima. You don't forget your Mima, that's important, but the fact that your house is on fire is also pretty crucial. So in my city, right, I have been broadcasting from D.C. to KPFA for 30 years. There we go, weaving to and fro. We're all in this dream together. And Benny Johnson on Washington, D.C. saying Stephen Miller's plan. Entire neighborhoods of D.C. probably need to be emptied, need to be bulldozed. We go, oh, man. Okay, so we're using everything. I have mugwort here. Mugwort, excellent. Because it protects boundaries and enhances dreaming. So I'm going to light this for all of us. Some mugwort wafting telepathically to everybody that we seal our boundaries. So we are boundaried, safe enough to dream. Safe enough to dream. So there's wonderful, rousing community support that we're going to dive into the magic of D.C. It's here. D.C. is a Scorpio city. It's all about the use and abuse of collective power. But it means that where you see power is where it's not. And we're going to delve into, you know, the invisible power of D.C., which largely comes from Southern Black spirituality moving up into D.C. in the mid-20th century. We're going to honor that with James Hampton. So we go again, let's take the cult out of culture by alliance with the occult. And let's be creative and responsive and unexpected. August 15th is Be Brave Day. Be Brave Day. There's a great one, Be Brave Day, Overpass Visibility, Brigade Action, I-80, Richmond. Just search Be Brave, it'll come up nationally. It's Overpass Day. It's creative, it's music, it's dancing, it's overpass signs everywhere. And so on August 15th, the Richmond action on I-80 is visibility brigades across the nation will gather on overpasses to spiral forth, they said shout, I say spiral, spiral forth a united message of unity and strength through solidarity and community. We'll use huge levels to letters to spell out, be brave with us and we'll be brave for you. For passing cars during the evening commute and wave to cars honking in support. And they say, enjoy some snacks, good company, and rewarding community action too. So that's also the day when the blithering buffoon goes to Russia or Alaska to meet with Putin. So we play with everything, let anything up to no good fizzle, like a wet firecracker fart, yes, and boomerang, boomerang, anything up to no good back to its source with a pie in the face. And we go, yes. So our chart and James Hampton's chart and the throne is humming. But first, let's hear a little bit of Washington, D.C.'s wonderful response. This was outside DuPont Circle, I think last night. And DuPont Circle is where Big Balls was allegedly mugged by two unarmed teenagers. Maybe. The whole thing is sketchy. Everything about this moronic regime is sketchy, but that was the justification for, you know, the military occupation of D.C. And these guys are going, you know, they're in the face of people on their porches, on their steps, going, "Oh, do you have your ID? I live here." It's really like, oh, okay, so we got to go deep into our mojo, which is there again, and deep in D.C. in many, many ways, and in all of us too. But yeah, and then striding, the troops striding kind of aimlessly, as though they're on a class trip. It's really what it looks like as they stroll through Georgetown. They're much more aggressive in black neighborhoods, of course, but in Georgetown, they're kind of strolling through. And as David Grinspoon, NASA friend on Facebook, who's happy to come on the radio, he said after he loses his job at NASA in October, and we go, yeah, we're all in this dream together. But he had a clip of the troops moving through Georgetown going, maybe they'll get a margarita or some designer glasses. Right. And I think, you know, our creative response, many things, many ways of responding, but not reacting. Right. This is crucial as citizens, because we don't want the false flag or otherwise reactive thing like, it's like, no, spiraling, unexpected, you know. Here's free slices of pizza, you occupying people. Remember that Pluto remains stationing at 2 degrees of Aquarius, which is deserted from the military, following their own wilderness path, following their own conscience, going, come this way, come have pizza. Oh, and this store is giving you free ice cream. And come to DuPont Circle to hear this music that we're going to hear now. Here we go. There we go. That's DC's response, led by the sole black community, of course, because it is a black city. And that is why this country continues to exist. I've felt that often. And so, James Hampton, you may not have ever heard of him. He was a black man from Ellery, South Carolina, who made his way north when he was 19, following his brother to DC. He then was, you know, fought in World War II, and then he had a vision. This all came out later, of the Virgin Mary on top of the Washington Monument, who told him he must build the throne of the third heaven. And so, secretly, he rented a place, a small workroom, and dedicated his life 14 years to making this extraordinary thing. You can see it on our Facebook page. You can see it on the notes on KPFA. You know, and on my Patreon Visionary Activist Show, we'll put plenty of the throne because it's astounding. And it was my great friend Kenneth Baker who turned me onto this in early 70s, right? Because it went on display in 1970. And what it is, and I have the chart that I drew of him then. I have the hand-drawn chart I did for James Hampton in 1972 when I first saw this amazing thing. It is a place I go to as a humming, powerful, spiritual place in the Smithsonian Museum of American Art, where they have visionary art, outsider art. May it be protected, may it be protected. Oh, they've put a blonde white woman in charge of the Museum for African American History. They've put some other dingbat in charge of the Smithsonian to remove anything not in accord with Trumpelstiltskin's taste. It's like, oh, no, but this is too powerful. Because he was using only kind of trash, tables and things found on the street, light bulbs covered with tinfoil, gold and silver tinfoil, and some deep purple paper. The purple has faded, but it's extraordinary. And you know, sometimes only parts of it are on display, but it hums. I went there. I go there often. I'm gonna go there again because you can feel it. Like, whoa, this was dedicated positive magic. And it was discovered because after he died in 1964, he felt it was not yet finished, but a Washington Post reporter was going to rent that little workspace, and the landlord and he opened the door, and they were like, "Oh my God! I mean, wait till you see it. It's like because it's like some Egypto-Aztec genius, and it's crowns, it's altars. There's a chair. The thing overhead." There's two things in English and then a bunch of things in a language that is maybe Gullah-like, but no one exactly knows. I mean, this is very trippy. But overhead it says, "Fear not. Fear not." Yes. Okay, James Hampton. You know, you weren't recognized when you were alive, but we're recognizing you onward, onward, and now, when your art is coming alive for us as a haven. I went there the first time that Trump was, inaugurated. And it's like, It's the myth of so much. You know, in mythology, Hijon the Conqueror from the South, the great liberating folk hero who's interested in liberating those enslaved, but liberating even those enslaving, not counting on it, but liberating the entire circumstance. And it's where we get the phrase from him to hit a straight lick with a crooked stick, and finding a way out of no way. Finding a way out of no way, hitting a straight lick with a crooked stick. That's what we need. There we go. So, hi, John. Zora Neale Hurston's fantastic essay on him and her complete stories. Hi, John. Check it out. So it said that he was not a man, but a will to hope. And then the will put on the metaphor, the myth put on flesh. And he would liberate, and he'd visit the outsiders and comfort them and liberate them, you know, and finish it all off with a laugh, right? Saturn and Neptune are at the comedic degree, going, there's much sorrow, much horror and sorrow and crime in the world. But also, we have a broad repertoire. It's the repertoire derived from the South, derived from New Orleans, which is the dark, ironic humor that is honed and born out of adversity. That's what we want to call upon, but of many, many things, as well as grief. Grief, artfully expressed, becomes a sacrament of kinship. So this throne is humming, and I want to bring in his chart, too. Much has been written about the throne of the third heaven. It is extraordinary. But I learned about it again early, you know, and then there's the slightly kind of more conventional thing. But the Smithsonian's website says, "The throne of the third heaven of the nation's millennial General Assembly is a complex work of art created by James Hampton over a period of 14 years. Hampton made the array based on several religious visions." We're in a visioning time that prompted him to prepare for the return of goodness to the world. His reference to the third heaven is based on scriptures citing it as the heaven of heavens, the divine's realm. Hampton created his masterpiece, right, in a rented carriage house, transforming its drab interior into a resplendent world. He handcrafted many of the elements from cardboard and plastic, but added structure with found objects from his neighborhood, old furniture, jelly jars, discards like light bulbs from the federal office buildings in which he worked. He worked as a janitor at night, right? Hampton selected shimmering metallic foils, purple paper. I told you this already, but let's do it again, that is now faded to tan. It's like Egypt. It was much more colorful, right? And other materials to evoke spiritual awe and splendor. The throne embodies a complex fusion of Christian and African-American spiritual practices, overlaying themes of deliverance and freedom. It is astonishingly splendid and profoundly humble. That's really true. I mean, when you see it, even in photos, and then when you go into its presence, you go, oh my God, right? It's extraordinary, and we are grateful. We are very grateful. It derives coherence from a parallel row of components arranged on two levels. A cushioned throne at the rear is a focal point for the highly symmetrical array. Objects on the right refer to the New Testament and Jesus, those on the left to the Old Testament and Moses. I'll interweave here. Remember, there's liberating things in everything. In the Quran, there's Qadir, who's the green man. And Qadir goes to Moses and says, what is this fetish you have for rules, for commandments? What is this nonsense? And he basically gives Moses Shaktipat. He hits him in the forehead, goes, oh, how about just a direct connection to the divine with no rules? And Moses is like, oh, wow. Oh, that's really great. I'm liberated. Oh, but then I forgot, and I went back to rules. So just want to put that in there. Also from the Quran, there's liberating things in everything. Muhammad goes to Gabriel and says, you know, we could have had no evil in the world if you'd made us all alike. And Gabriel says, no. Allah would not have that. Allah insists the greater experiment is to come into accord from maximum difference. There we go, uniqueness. Which is why we embrace the outsider, James Hampton, outsider visionary art. This is the time of the part of all of us that's been an outsider, no matter how disguised, right, rising to the occasion. Again, encouraging all to desert from the military, desert from any constraining colonial orthodoxy, follow their own wilderness path, you know, for all of us to create a culture, everything into the cauldron, and what shall we ladle out? You know, and the chart is again irresistible. Couldn't not talk to everybody here. We're convening our council, because there is an extraordinary, lineup of proffered opportunities to us that we want to animate and participate in, lest we leave it by default to the Dementors, who are plenty organized. Surprisingly, we underestimated the organization of the Inquisition, Lordy. Right. So here we are. Again, our dedicated vision, everything into Pluto's cauldron. What shall we ladle out? There's Saturn, Neptune, at the comedian degree. Saturn, our dedication. Neptune, the power of music and dreams and vision. And James Hampton, also in his extraordinary work. It says, fear not, but it also says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Well, he was really stepping up. Again, this unknown black man, genius, working as a janitor at night, crafting this thing for community good, for us now. The thought that I threw in the air and then come back to, High John the Conqueror, it said that he did not go away. He went to go hide in High John the Conqueror root. Oh, wait, I have some right here, right through the telepathy. That's right, the radio telepathy. High John the Conqueror root. He's a great leader. I mean, really great folk hero. And he doesn't go away. He goes to reside in High John the Conqueror root, widely used in Louisiana root medicine. All honor. We need that. To await the world's call at a time of danger. And we go, yes, James Hampton, yes, High John the Conqueror. Now, whatever your medicine mojo, come back, right? And it's like the divine would like to help, but it requires an invitation. And that's one of the potencies of music and art. They serve as invitation for the backstage invisible to bound into incarnational actuality in our stage here. We go, oh, we really, that's really, really need that. I also, which comes with John the Conqueror root, I also have fast luck oil, you know, why not? So praise, you know, back to the Smithsonian's write-up, praised as America's greatest work of visionary art. Yeah, could be. Hampton's throne reveals one man's faith in God as well as his hope for salvation. Although Hampton did not live to initiate a public ministry, until now, you're just backstage, we're waving to you, we're appreciating you. His commanding phrase, you know, fear not, summarizes the project's powerful message, as well as where there is no vision, the people perish. And we go, yeah, there's that. So, so thank you so much, James Hampton. And just a little bit, when I did his chart, well, oh, there's so much richness here. When I did James Hampton's chart, we don't know what time. I made up a time, but we don't know what time. But April 8th, 1909, in Ellery, South Carolina. I put it at, you know, in the morning. But it is beautiful. I mean, all charts, all of us are unique experiments. We throw the word special into the cauldron because that's sort of hierarchical, celebrity, anti-democratic word, and we laid a lot unique. Unique. Special makes us passive in the face of celebrity. Unique means we need everybody's unique contribution now. And it's all, you know, known or unknown, it's quickening within us all. It's our trickster selves that rises in time of danger. So in James Hampton's chart, so he's a multiple Aries. We're incarnational agent of Mars. It's one of the main issues we're looking at. We have infantile, uninitiated Mars, toxic mimic of Mars, men who want to go to Mars rather than be Mars, you know, running a great deal of the show. The larger show that we're a part of, you know, we did make reference, I'll refer it again, you know, that Wernher von Braun was a Nazi war criminal rocket scientist who used concentration labor to make rockets. And after World War II, America said, you're our kind of guy. Come over here. We'll put you in Alabama. We'll make you the father of NASA. There you go. And Tom Lehrer, of course, has a great song that we played before, and, you know, just find it and play it again. So Wernher von Braun was obsessed with going to Mars, and he wrote a science fiction novel called Project Mars. And Elon Musk's grandfather and father read that. And in that novel, Wernher von Braun, the Nazi war criminal, founder of NASA, godfather of NASA, says, well, you know, democracy, no. Technocracy, that's what we want. We need dictatorships. And it's very much like something I copied down in 2014 that Trump's tweeted to Steve Bannon and then also spoke. He said, we want financial chaos and collapse. We want rioting in the streets. We want everything falling apart because that's when America will be great again. Right? That's their intention. That's their intention. There we go. So there's that. And we go, all right, but here we are. Calling on everything to go, no, but you can see the plan, right? So in this novel, Project 25, that Wernher von Braun, the Nazi war criminal who was the godfather of NASA, wrote, there's a dictator on Mars, and the title of the dictator, he's called the Elon. And so Elon's father reads this and names his son after the dictator on Mars written by the Nazi war criminal Wernher von Braun. And it's all one story. You know, we can tie it all together. So infantile science fiction. Bob Barr's father, Donald Barr, you know, also a right-wing cuckoo person, head of the Dalton School. He hired Epstein to teach young girls there, even though Epstein had no college degree or anything. And Donald Barr also wrote an insane, infantile, Mars-oriented science fiction novel all about desirable sex trafficking of young girls, like as a good thing, right? We're here to compost a lot. It's all on the table. It's all on the table. This droit de seigneur, you know, we are white men. Also, Pete Hegseth's church is moving to D.C. Oh, not if we can help it. Not if we can help it. His pastor, whom he retweeted, is like, no, women should be in the kitchen and they should really not vote. And Hegseth gave that a thumbs up, right? It's like, it just never stops. Or yes, it can stop, right? And so that's also part of it. I like some wags saying on Facebook, we have no control over how our spirit allies protect us, so mind your manners. There's a lot in D.C. that we'll be honoring to quicken. We speak to it and quicken it and call it forth. The architecture itself and James Hampton's Throne of the Third Heaven itself is, again, humming, redemptive, find a way out of no way. You know, and just the profundity of Black culture in D.C. that is, you know, the jazz clubs and the thing and the neighborhoods that they want to bulldoze. This is part of a whole long thing, but it's all here for us to compost. Really, everything despicable about humanity is evidence that tyranny hates community, right? Because cult is the toxic mimic of community, so it wants to destroy the real thing in so many ways. It goes back in South Africa to the destruction of District 6, which was a place where people mixed and it was diverse and there were people from all over, even in pre-apartheid, and the South African government was like, can't have that. And cab drivers everybody spoke of this, you know, even though it had been decades earlier, they spoke of it with yearning and regret and loss. And the cab driver who told me this story in Cape Town said, you know, they bulldozed it, but nobody could build anything there because whenever they tried, they were haunted by the sound of children laughing and the rich, fragrant smells from the different cook pots as, you know, Indian and African and, you know, Afrikaner, you know, stews together and looked after each other's children together. It haunted them, and so they couldn't build there. So the spirit mojo is what we're kind of tapping into here. And just a little bit about James Hampton's chart before we do our break music and go on to everything else. So he is incarnational agent of Mars, positive Mars. We have ridiculous, uninitiated, you know, Mars teen, infantile, no Venus, Mars obsession running. We're in a teen boy science fiction novel. We go, no, let's dissolve it. Let's dissolve that. Whew. Let's dissolve it right now, team. You know, as Reverend Ike said, if we can dream it up, we can dream it down. Whew. Whew. Neptune says, salve e coagula, dissolve and reimagine into the cauldron. Like, what did this toxic thing want to be? Let's set it free. Let's into the cauldron with our own criterion, you know, for democracy. Everything, every spiritual teaching, every language, everything, we get to look at it going special into the cauldron, and that includes chosen people in any form as an infantile mythology that we can never afford, but especially can no longer afford now. You know, we the chosen. You know, and it's not just, you know, the Judaic, you know, father thing. It's any sneaky New Age thing. We, the 144 enlightened, but you, the whatever. And it's like, no, it's sneaky. All of that into the cauldron, you know, and our criterion for ladling things out, well, customize it. You know, everybody, you know, is into the cauldron. Does it guide people to their own autonomy and to be good Earth citizens? Is it equal Mars and Venus, equal humans and the rest of our kin? Can the truth be said without cringing? Is trickster ingenuity welcome? Yes, we ladle it out. No, we throw it back in for another round of bubbling. So I'll continue to honor James Hampton's chart and our own chart that we're working with, you know, as we set forth. And then just right before we go to a break with a wonderful ghost dance from Robbie Robertson giving us some strategy. So James Hampton is an Aries. 18 degrees Aries, which is a magic carpet ride. His north node of the moon is so perfect for what he's doing. Every now and then when I throw astrology into the cauldron, then I ladle it out going, oh, that's fantastic. His north node of the moon, its image is a man reading a beautifully illuminated alchemical text with the aid of a magnifying glass, bringing the mystery of life into incarnational actuality, the child's attunement to symbols, deciphering the symbolic outlines of one experience, focusing the light of racial experience on personal issues, alchemy, occultism, fairy tales. He did it. He really did it. So now here's Ancestor, also Robbie Robertson, with Ghost Dance, our break music, and we will reconvene on the other side.
You don't stand a chance against my prayers. You don't stand a chance against my love. The outlaw, the ghost dance. The outlaw, the ghost dance. We shall live again. We shall live again. We shall live again. Crazy Horse was a mystic. He knew the secret of the trance. And Sitting Bull, the great apostle of the ghost dance. Come on, Comanche. Come on, Blackfoot. Come on, Shoshone. Come on, Shire. We shall live again. We shall live again. Come on, Rapha. Come on, Cherokee. Come on, Payne. Come on, Sioux. We shall live again. We used to do the ghost thing. Don't sing them kind of songs no more.
That's Robbie Robertson, the Ghost Dance. You know, you don't stand a chance against our prayers. Thank you. Thank you, Robbie. We're here. This is Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. We are honoring Esoteric DC as embodied in outsiders, outcasts who are saving us. You know, when culture's in big trouble, it turns to its outsiders. You know, I'm honoring James Hampton, extraordinary, unknown in his lifetime, visionary artist from Ellery, South Carolina, who made this extraordinary thing, the Throne of the Third Heaven. It's in the Smithsonian Museum of American Art. Protect it. Protect it from the Dementors. It's a powerful, powerful, beautiful thing. So I'm honoring James Hampton's chart. You know, you can hear about the Throne of the Third Heaven. Do, you know, search that online. It's in all of our, you know, radio promos and everything. And the Patreon for Visionary Activist Show is all backstage notes and James Hampton more stuff. But yeah, it's extraordinary. And I'm going to go there soon. I go there because it's the humming positive soul of this country. He dedicated it that way. So James Hampton, what is extraordinary in his chart, again, not special, but unique, right, is, I'll say it and then translate it, his sun and Saturn, dedicated, right next to Venus in Aries, whose image is a bomb that fails to go off, defusing tense situations. We go, right, we need that part of your medicine, James Hampton, because to all of us to be responsive, not reactive, again, to not do the thing, not do the, just you know, don't even throw the sandwich at the soldier person, you know, because you just got charged with a felony. Not that that's fair, but we go in response, cooling things out. His Mercury at 4 Aries and Mercury stationing right now in the sky, exactly trining that. We want his voice. He's very much, James Hampton, very much a part of our ongoing conversation, very much a part of what Philip K. Dick called VALIS, Vast Active Living Intelligence System. And I love, you know, Philip K. Dick. And what he said is, he said, it was because of my limitations and my flaws and my vajvada, whatever, that wise guides came to guide me to Valis, to the vast active living intelligence system. So that's a pretty good deal. So we are humbled, right, humbled into the necessity of making alliances across species borders and across world borders. The community of the ancestors, the community of the dead. I have something that my own thing, but you can do your own thing, the Ouija board of directors. And it's just wonderful humans I know and love who have died, or some of them are living, and some of them are right on the edge, you know. And it's like, right, let's experiment with everything. So James Hampton, his Aries planets, quintile Mars, 72 degree angle. Mars quintiles the moon in Scorpio. Secret. The moon in Scorpio quintiles Jupiter. Jupiter quintiles Pluto. Pluto quintiles back to his Aries planets. It's a complete five-pointed star. And it's like, I don't know if I've seen such a thing. Quintile is a kind of genius, a kind of irresistible eloquence that's reaching to us now from him having gone backstage in 1964, but through this extraordinary work, and we need it now. It's a quintile, some say genius, you know, bad people can have it too, but irresistible eloquence, and the way I've often put it, and we'll translate it now to all of us, it's a capacity to have a true perception. He had a real vision. He wanted to communicate for goodness, for the good of the community. And we're in this now too, which is vision, action, vision, action. Visionary activism, planets in Aries going back into Pisces, action back into dreaming, back into action. So the quintile irresistible eloquence, the capacity to create something that hums like a tuning fork in others. My experience of sitting in that room with his work, and not all of it is on display at the same time, it's vast, is it hums. It's like, it's a place of soulful solace and humming and dedication and the good part of Washington, D.C. beaming out into the nation and out into the world for goodness. And it's like, So I'm going to go there again, you know, and it's a wonderful Washington date, right? I don't, you know, because you can then come out from that and much great visionary art in that museum, like, and step across the street to Jose Andres, may he be praised forever, restaurant Zetinya, one of the best restaurants in the world. It's Middle Eastern organic tapas. So that makes a great Washington date, as well as, you know, in the coming weeks, I'm going to unfold, and also on the Patreon thing, Visionary Activist Show, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital by David Ovison, because, like James Hampton's throne, this country was founded by Masons. I mean, really, all the way up to FDR, which was a Mason. This is written by a wonderful ally who's now gone backstage. David Ovison was his pen name. Just search him online. Keeper of the world's largest collection of sacred, esoteric, occult art in the best way, too. His book, The Secret Architecture of Nation's Capital. I'm dusting it off now. His real name was Fred Gettings. I met him before he died. Well, of course, before he died. Well, we can meet him when he's dead, too. And he said, you know, the radiant eye represented, in the Seal of America, represented the invisible presence of the great architect, the spiritual being invited by prayer and ritual to oversee the ceremonial, the dedication of many of the buildings in D.C., and they were dedicated with ritual to, again, like High John the Conqueror, to come alive at a time of danger. And we go, yeah, let's try that. What a good idea. You know, it was the cornerstones were ceremonially designed to gain approval of the spiritual beings, to invite that in. You know, September 18th, 1793, you know, the city begins, marshes and swamps. The silver plate is placed upon the cornerstone with ceremony. Cornerstones were always a ritual, always astrological timing. This book is not a New Age, you know, whatever it is. It was approved of by Masons. You know, it's for real. I mean, Fred Geddings, David Ovison, was a for real scholar, and you can trust him. And it's again powerful, and I'm wedding him to James Hampton's work. So what he writes, David Ovison, the formal laying of a cornerstone was no new thing, even in America. It was already a ritual sanctified by Masonic tradition, a throwback to an age when it was believed that all human activities were overseen by the gods. In essence, the cornerstone ceremonial was designed not only to gain the approval of spiritual beings, but also to ensure that these were content that the building was being brought into the world at the right time. Now, in keeping with James Hampton having a vision of the Virgin Mary on top of the Washington Monument, the Masons, George Washington and everybody, and it goes on and on and on, timed many of the laying of the cornerstones for this city with planets in Virgo, on purpose, right? And humming with some things in ancient Egypt, but I'll have to get back to you in more detail on that. But yes, and it's extraordinary to see and to feel. And then also, of course, the Statue of Freedom on top of the Capitol, right? Anytime you watch the news, if you do that, when you see the Capitol, the Statue of Freedom is on top. Let's bring her alive, right? Dionne Fortune said, you know, when protecting Britain from the Nazi invasion with the ritualists of Britain in World War II, hired by the British government, she said, well, find a symbol, find a statue, you know, and feed it and energize it and invite it to come alive. You know, well, we've been doing this for a while. And the symbolism is super trippy. Notes are escaping me. But so it was, you know, Christian-pagan combination. The Statue of Freedom was crafted by slave labor. Right, so all of that. And think of James Hampton, you know, in Washington, D.C., working on this sacred work of art, you know, unknown, you know, in early 1960s, the Civil Rights Movement, you know, and in a city largely black and culturally redeemed by black culture, and then on top of that is, you know, white power possessing guys. We turn to that, and we turn to, so for instance, the archives, you know, where so much is laid there, outside the archives is a statue of Isis. Isis is everywhere in this city. For real. And when she was installed there with Masonic symbolism of cornmeal and salt and water with reverence, the archives are built on top of where slaves had been sold, right? All of this is up, you know, time to completely compost, you know, all the horrors of this country and white supremacy and the Inquisition going back in time, you know, let's all into the cauldron because it's here in its cartoon, horrific, cruel form right now. And then let's see, whatever. I'll just randomly pick up things here. The cornerstone for the Washington Monument was laid at the northeast corner of the foundation in the early afternoon of July 4th, 1848. There was another Virgoan influence on this chart. The all-important dragon's head in the 1848 chart is 25 degrees of Virgo. He goes on with the astrology part. But, yeah, and again, the marker was laid with Masonic honors at a moment which reflected the nature of Virgo. Over and over again, many of the buildings. Washington has more zodiacs than any city in the world. And every now and then I go, why am I here? You know, my people are in California or around the world or whatever. And it's like, no, I'm here for some mythological reason I don't know. I have no idea. Every now and then I have to inflate it with mythological meaning. But now I feel enthused. It's like, again, this book. So Freedom, the Statue of Freedom, check her out. You know, in 1863, Thomas Crawford's giant Statue of Freedom was mounted on the new dome of the Capitol. Its helmet bore a crest of feathers. Although many people still believe this is the headdress of American Indian, it's the head and plumage of an eagle that dominate the planned center of D.C., where the arch of heaven is reflected in the dome of the building. The symbolic crowning merely completed a sculptural program which had begun with the building of the Capitol. It was all, you know, again, many stories, you know, horrible empire and all. But underneath that, the outside part, the underneath part is what we're going for, to invite in going. The way it was explained to me by Masons is that the founding fathers, they did this knowing that the dedication of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution were not fulfilled promises of democracy and equality. That's why the top of the pyramid is floating, right, on the reverse seal of America. It's not there yet. That's for us to do now. And let me come back to the chart of now and what is being proffered to us. So all of the outer planets are in greased lightning accord, which again behooves us even more to align with it, lest we leave it by default to the Dementors. So Pluto, encouraging everyone to desert anything that's not in accord with their heart. You know, desert the military. Yes, come this way. Leave, you know, don't do it. Leave ICE. Leave, you know, occupying armies. Leave, you know, all of that. You know, be brave, and we will be brave with you. Again, community arising. So, Pluto, sextiles, excuse me, Pluto, what am I doing here? Okay, so Pluto has a beautiful 60-degree angle called a sextile collaborative dynamic to Saturn and Neptune. Dedication to the desirable vision. Everything into the cauldron. What shall we ladle out? The desirable vision. Saturn and Neptune sextile Uranus, the spark of revolution and originality. And it says to each one of us going, well, how big a change would we like? And we go, oh, pretty big. And Uranus goes, we can do that. We go back to David Graeber, bless his heart, the dawn of everything, you know, wrote with his co-author, David Fuzer, you know, and David Graeber died after he finished writing this book that took him 10 years, but he left us with so much. And always, again, the crucial mantra that he leaves us with, which is, oh, humans, remember that human society has always had the capacity to transform from authoritarian to egalitarian in what might seem like a historic minute, instant. We go, okay, all right. Now, this is where things are sporting. So we have Pluto and Saturn, Neptune, and Uranus in cahoots. And wait, there's more. They also sextile Mercury. So the voice, Mercury going direct on the anniversary of Epstein's death. Lots to say. The dead are full of stories. It's all coming out. It's all coming out. May it all come out. May anything we need to know to have a democracy, you know, come on out. But Uranus and Jupiter, beautifully conjoined with Venus. You can see it early morning if you rise before dawn or stay up that late, you know. You can see Venus and Jupiter rising in the east, so beautiful. Jupiter exalted in Cancer. It's where it was when the country was founded. Jupiter goes around every 12 years. So it's like time for a new old story, a historically informed story. Saturn, Neptune says, in a new way that we all contribute to, So Uranus and Jupiter are the two biggest path openers. They say to the part of us that is Saturn, Saturn says, dedicate to the most desirable vision in each person's personal life and in our collective community life. You know, so Saturn's job is in all of us is what? Not how. When we burden Saturn with how, it downloads, you know, generations of ancestral futility, like, we go, Saturn's job is what? What? That's it. Uranus chimes in creative accord with Saturn to say, we are larger forces of trickster liberation, of coyote, of seeds that sprout after cataclysm, of, you know, crows and ravens and the intelligence of nature. We are your allies. If we will be brave for you, if you will be brave with us on August 15th and forevermore. and Uranus says, I'm going to connect each person to the coolest things possible in accord with each person's dedication, in accord with our collective dedication as well. you know, and our gathering with music and festivals and art and unexpectedness, you know, and, you know, here's some pizza and a better story, you know, come this way. There we go, spiral out of the tyranny. Not to meet things on an infantile, provocative, like, oh yeah, you know, Red Rover. No, you know, again, in Aikido, don't block guide. Oh, you want to go? There we go. Guidelines, no rules, but guidelines. There we go. So Uranus is associated with trickster ingenuity, quickening in all of us. It's in Gemini. We could be in a time of, you know, insanely, or let me pick another word than insane, Majnun. Majnun means crazy for the divine. Crazy for the divine inventiveness. You know, a culture of reverent ingenuity. It could be our Act 5 coming out of Act 4. In storytelling, right, the 5-act structure. Act 1 is here we are, Act 2 is away, Act 3 is oops, Act 4 is evil. That's where we are now. And Act 5 is redemption. Redemption. The culture of reverent ingenuity. So we're all in Act 4, crafting Act 5 with music and poetry and gathering and ingenuity. And Uranus is, the last idea is associated with Uranus symbolizing an intelligence, is democracy, equality, synchronicity. And it's like, believe nothing, entertain possibilities, but check this out. I have, which is when we look down or up at anyone, there's no magic. There's plenty of stuff, but there's no synchronicity. When we treat each other as equals, ally etiquette, when we really aspire to tease democracy into our manner of relating, you know, at the station, at the work, at the thing, with our family, the rate of synchronicity increases dramatically. Or I've rephrased it, it might be our availability to synchronicity increases dramatically. So we love that part. So this is a sporting, it, you know, cruelty and beauty neck and neck. You know, we're betting on beauty and community. You know, and the power of that which has been, well, not exactly hidden, but less visible in D.C. You know, again, the dedication of the of the nation's capital, the putting, the symbolic dedication that these powerful forces would come alive at a time of danger. Yes, now. And that's, again, the myth. Not only Haijon the Conqueror goes to live in Haijon the Conqueror route to await the world's call at a time of danger. King Arthur, you know, remember the Arthurian legends were designed as an experiment to have spiritually cultivated people engaged in governance to protect life. That's at the essence there. And what passes for the end of the Grail legend, the hip people all go away. You know, Merlin goes off with the nymph to, you know, douse themselves in patchouli oil or whatever, and Arthur goes off to Avalon to take Pilates classes with the priestesses to await the world's call. This is the thing. Come on back, James Hampton. Come on back, Haijon. Come on back, you know, that part of all of us. You know, and part of our pattern now is we have Dark Moon Lilith rising in the east at 2 Scorpio. But the image for 2 Scorpio is a happy house-raising party building a new culture. We go, yes, Dark Moon Scorpio, that's wonderful. And she completes what we have here, which is a grand square. Dark Moon Lilith squares Mercury in Leo, which is make that which has been invisible illuminate it. Our word obscene comes from a Greek stage direction, obscene, which means off stage. When Medea murders her children, the stage direction is obscene, not to be seen. So Mercury, newly direct in Leo, says, let's illuminate what has been obscene backstage so that everyone can see it and understand it and go, oh. Yeah, Joe Rogan has just turned on Trump, you know, you go, all right, you know. Not nothing. you know, and a change of mind, we encourage a change of mind in all of us, right, to be surprising to ourselves, going, I've changed my mind. I used to think this or that, or blah, blah, blah. And especially about how we engage on the street, you know. Well, for years working these craft, which is opposition, you know, feeds tyranny. What can we say? It doesn't mean to be compliant. No. It means to be effective, you know, to be surprising, to like, whoa, So we honor that kind of dynamic. So let me just continue a little bit here. Pluto, sextile Saturn, Neptune. Saturn, Neptune is a part of us that when we hear something desirable, even if it seems impossible, we go, let's see it. Let's see it. Again, clear mental image tends to materialize as an actual condition or event. Thank you, builders of the auditorium. and then that dedication comes with the surprising means to implement. And this is a strategy given to all of us, which is start with the desirable vision that everybody could kind of agree about, going, you know, vision of a wealthy community, wealthy, prosperous, you know, inner cities blooming, wonderful life for all children. If we start with the vision, people go, well, that would be okay. Then avenues of possibility open up that weren't visible beforehand. If we start with what's practical, with the how are we going to do this, then people go to war. If your city blooms, mine can't, you know. And there we go. So it's a strategy to practice. It's a mythological, neurological pathway to lay down in our personal and collective lives, going, what's the most desirable vision? Let's start with that and work our way backwards. Situation so dire, can't afford the luxury of realism. There we go. So we're playing with those things. There's much to continue to play with in ensuing weeks. James Hampton's, I'm going to go visit pretty soon, and then dine at Jose Andres' restaurant across the street. Field trips are possible. And then more from the secret architecture of our nation's capital, in which every street you can feel the history of it and what was embedded and dedicated there. Absolutely. So thank you, team. Thank you, Kirsten Thomas, always wonderful, wonderful. We will keep this story rolling. There's so much available. The wisdom of the earth is eager to collaborate again across species borders, across cultural borders, across present and history patterns, honoring all of our ancestors who are dedicated. Thank you, Kirsten Thomas. I'm Caroline Casey, Visionary Activist Show on Patreon and also CoyoteNetworkNews.com. Woof, woof, woof. We will reconvene next week. Thank you, team.